Those of you on live stream, if you have a problem hearing or seeing anything, let us know. Especially if you're on MeWe, send a message to Jenny or Jenny. We're going to be in Luke 9 in our Bible study.
Wow.
And send your prayer requests in if you're on live stream to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. By the way, if you need a good email service that doesn't invade your privacy like Yahoo and Google and those do, ProtonMail, we've been using it for years now. And it's a very good private source. They also have a VPN that if you're on the internet, you can have privacy in your browsing so they can't track you. And you ever wonder why you do a search for noodles and then all of a sudden all your ads pop up about noodles? That's because they're tracking you and they know you're interested in noodles. So that's how that works.
Hi, Tracy.
Tracy, if you're on there, get well.
She is on. She said she's on.
And my mommy and my grandma and Dave and Janice Reese and Martha, Penny Warner. Trying to think of who else. We got all kinds of people watching. Charmaine.
Otis.
Yeah. Rick. Yeah. Oh, that's sad to hear that. So, if we miss you, it's not because we don't love you. It's because we're going into early signs of senility. But
what do they call it? Old-timers disease.
Old-timers disease. 476. And this might be new to a few of you. But most Baptists sing this, but I don't know if the Sovereign Grace people do, because Jenny didn't know it. It is glory just to walk with Him. 476. Stuck in your head, you'll be singing it all week. Thanks. You're welcome. 334. This is one most of you know, I believe. Be thou my vision. As they're turning there, we have a new and improved BBF annual Bible reading plan for you. Those of you here can get your hard copy right on the top shelf there with the booklets. And what we did was there were a few days where you're reading almost 200 verses and then a few days where you're reading 20. Now, what we did was we just went like three chapters a day. And it doesn't equally pan out that way. So there's still a few days where you're reading like 140, 150. Got to happen because we don't want to break up the chapters and make it too difficult. But we've made those improvements with the help. I want to thank Katie Hintz. She saved me two or three blunders. I appreciate that. So if you're online, all you do is... Go to our website where a lot of you are watching here anyway. You're online. And if you look at the top navigation, you'll see where it says resources. You click on that and a little thing drops down. Isn't that nifty? Then you come down to where it says PDF downloads. Click on that. When the page opens, the very first PDF download is the BBF Reading Calendar 2021. And when you click on that, it comes up like that. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Now you can print it, and if you want it to look like this, you have to print two sides. Or you can just save it.
Hold on.
Save it to your computer, and then you'll be able to see it.
I'll just look at the leap year thing.
You get a day off.
If there's a leap year, you take a day off.
Last year there was a leap year. Yeah. Did you take the day off, or did you read? I'm just kidding.
So, that's your... That's your simple way of getting your own calendar if you'd like. So let's sing number 334, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
was his favorite song. Went to be the Lord.
Dan Goodrich.
And next, we'll sing 489, Glory to His Name.
Amen. Pencils are in the cup right next to it, in case you need one. If you have your Bibles, be in Luke 9. Glimpse of the kingdom. I wasn't referring to you all walking in.
Or was he?
The title of it. Wimps of the Kingdom. There's your reminder to turn off your cell phone ringer. Recognize that song? Just a reminder, this is the 10th day of Christmas. Baptists are really renowned for taking their decorations down too soon.
Not us. I'm just kidding.
12th day of Christmas will be January 5th, and then January 6th, the Orthodox celebrate Christmas. So if you want to join in with them, go right ahead. And our current events update. Out of sight, out of mind. Islam continues to its deadly rampage globally. We have a lot of news going on here, and there's a big thing coming up tomorrow, but there's nothing really to be said about it. We just have to sit back and wait and see what's going to happen on January 6th. But we highly recommend this website so that you can keep ahead of things and what's going on. You'll definitely know more than you would if you try to get news from our so-called news media. It's called thereligionofpeace.com. We've recommended this. I try to once every few months, but it's probably been a year or two since I mentioned it. Thereligionofpeace.com, and they track these things. And it's basically a permanent archive of what's going on with Islam versus the world. The goal of Islam is violent conquest. And it was that way with Muhammad and hasn't changed since. They changed their tactics according to the region and what they're able to do. In America, they're using our Constitution against us as best they can until they finally believe they'll have a majority and can take over. I don't think that's going to happen, but if the Lord tarried long enough, it definitely could. This is just their most recent news report on thereligionofpeace.com. This didn't hit your news, and these stories never, or I'd say rarely ever will. Several killed in an ambush by suspected Islamists in Mozambique. The police were called in to intervene, but it was too late to help the victims, said the policeman who asked not to be named. Why? Because he doesn't want the Muslims to kill him. But that's true in America, too, by the way. When seconds count, the police are only minutes away.
Right.
Let that sink in. That's why you better be able to protect yourself. Villagers spoke of between 4 and 10 people killed when the minibus carrying 20 passengers traveling from Palma town to the provincial capital, Pemba, was torched. 2 children were burned in the vehicle. Another was decapitated. One villager told AFP, adding that a man was decapitated in front of his wife and children.
Wow.
That's just the introduction. We won't try to even belabor the point. Just in November this past year, there were 150 attacks in the name of Allah around the world. They killed 849 people. They injured 714. 8 involved suicide bombs, and they took place in 23 different countries.
Wow.
And your news media is fake.
Amen.
In December, leading up to Christmas Day, this is just 1 week. 1 week in December, December 19th through 25th, 39 attacks in the name of Allah, 117 killed, 84 injured, 2 of which were suicide bombs, took place in 10 different countries in 1 week. If anybody calls themselves a Christian, shoots one person, you'll hear about it for a month. But you're not going to hear about this on the news. Since 9/11, Islamic terrorists have carried out more than 38,359 attacks. And that's only the ones where people got killed. And you'll find all that information at thereligionofpeace.com. If you're on the internet, it should be bookmarked, and you should check it out at least once a week. Stay up on what's going on. And that's why gospel mission work is so important, because it not only saves souls, it saves lives. If you can reach one of those Muslims with the gospel, then they're not going to kill anybody.
Amen.
Once they become a Christian, they have to basically act out in opposition to their faith in order to kill somebody in the name of God. Because we're not called to do that. We're given the right of self-defense. And that's a whole different issue. But to go out and just start shooting people in the name of God is antichrist. It's against the Bible. And that is why we support Bible distribution by local church plants like this. It's called Bibles for South America. They give Bibles to local churches, many of which have been planted by American missionaries, but a lot of them are indigenous missionaries who have planted churches. And it says, our continuous goal is to print, ship, and distribute Spanish Bibles to pastors and missionaries in all nine of South America's Spanish-speaking countries. Just this month, we set a goal of $140. We raised
$800.
And so we'll be changing the board back there. From 1,245, we will add 320. So that's 1,565 Bibles that we've donated as a body. And we'd like to thank everyone, a couple of people in particular that really gave generously, and then everybody else, all of our little gifts combined together made a nice big gift, didn't it? And that's how we were talking about our gifts this morning in our Romans study. So that's how it works. Now, at this moment, I would like to ask Johnny and Jenny Allball to come forward.
Okay.
It's time for some church discipline.
Again?
Just kidding.
Around Christmas, too, Greg. You know how we feel. About church discipline around
Bring
Christmas.
Bring back some bad memories.
Yeah.
Stay there for just a second. I just want to say I'd like to have given... I would like to have given this at Christmas, but because of COVID interference, some things were delayed delivery. But this is just to show a little appreciation. All you folks watching live stream, Jenny keeps the thing going. And we had a big change this year and things, so she was very helpful. Johnny keeps everything going back there. We've missed Sean most of this year because of the COVID thing, and Johnny has stepped up. And he may have complained, but I didn't hear him. So, we really appreciate that. So, Jenny, I'd like to give you this. And, Johnny, I hope you don't already have this. But go ahead and open it. And let's see what you got there.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's it.
Oh, interesting.
Uncle Johnny.
Hippie party, let the fuss you
yes.
get.
Yeah,
you got a mask?
Yeah, pull it out of there.
This should be interesting.
Hey, sure, I come.
I didn't think you had one of those.
No, I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope it fits. Oh, yeah. Like a glove.
Take that in to CBS.
Jill, you getting pictures of this? I want pictures, Jill. Get pictures. That is so nice. Your horn's a little crooked, but I'm sure you'll straighten that out.
Ezra's laughing at her.
What do you think of that, Ezra? You like the unicorn, or you scared me? Sorry. Let me get in. I'm getting a bit of one. Take it out of here, Jill.
I am.
Keep it on. Come here, Jim. I'm in between Uncle Sam and the unicorn.
There's no horsing around.
Okay.
Drop your glasses down.
Just back up a little bit. She wants to straight
up. He's sharpening them.
Now, I think what we ought to do is have Jenny just stand out front with our BBF sign and invite people in wearing that.
Yeah, that would be good. Halfway down.
Wow. Happy Halloween.
Yes. Well, if I just get a purple hair, I'll look like my Minecraft character.
We might use that cracks in downtown where
Wow.
Thank you for your hard work and your consistency and
faithfulness, etc. Thank you. Maybe next year. All right. Jenny and I like singing a song before we go into our Bible study. Try not to mess it up too bad, but it's brand new to us. But it's written by John R. Rice, titled So Little Time. Most important thing is that we sing unto the Lord, and that at least those who are here and listening online, it might come off. Actually, there's been times where I've taken the audio from the live stream, and it sounds really good. So I'll try that. So let's get into our Bible study, the Word of Prayer. Brother John, would you open our study of prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, again, we come into your presence through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that precious blood, Lord, that cleanses from every single sin.
Amen.
And Lord, there's not a single problem that we have that cannot be answered and taken care of through the Word of God. And Lord, you give us your Spirit to be a comforter and to be a guiding light. And you promise to show us all truth in your Word. And we just pray right now for your work to occur in the hearts of everyone that's here today. We ask your blessings upon your Word, Lord. And May your blessings reach our hearts so we can be a blessing to somebody else. And as we just heard the song, there's several more time. Rapture could be this year.
Amen.
And Lord, how many people, Lord, that you need to that need to come to know Christ, lay them on our hearts, and give us the power of your Spirit to lead them to Christ. Take away our fearfulness, give us a heart of boldness, and Lord, in spite of all the apostasy and all the crazy things going on, bless BBF, oh Lord, bless your word here, and may we have fruit at your account when you come to pick us up. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Luke 9:27 through 36 we're going to cover. Right where we left off, we're going to begin in verse 27. I'll ask you to join me and read on the even verses. So I'll begin with verse 27. But I tell you of the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass, okay, folks, that's an even verse, join in. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud, and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which he had seen. God's people say amen.
Amen.
All right, so verse 27, where we started, is a real stumbling block for skeptics looking for a reason not to believe the Bible. And what they will say that that's talking about the second coming. And since all the apostles died before the kingdom came, and which is the second coming, that the Bible has an error, that Jesus was wrong. Well, now, first let me start off and say how stupid that is. Why would he be talking about his second coming when his first coming wasn't even done yet?
Amen.
So just on the very face of it, you're dealing with somebody who's just playing games with God.
Amen.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
And you go to evilbible.com. I don't even know if it exists anymore, but there's all these websites. And they all, this is one of their favorite passages, and it's one of the dumbest to claim and as an error in the Bible. It says, but I tell you of the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So that's your standard, not somebody else's fictitious standard of a second coming. He said you're going to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Well, what happened? Jesus didn't say they would be alive till they see the second coming. What's the Bible say? It usually answers most of the skeptics. They'll say, well, this, that. How many of you remember, there's several of you here who have approached me at some point and said, well, it sounds like you're saying. And I've said, no, I don't want to hear that. Not what what it sounds like. What are you laughing about, Charlie? There's several of you in here. I'm not pointing names, but I had to point out Charlie because he's smiling so big. There's several here who have done that. Why? Because that's how the world trains you to think, and we have to untrain you.
Yeah, amen.
Doesn't matter what it sounds like. Amen?
Amen.
What did I say? In the Bible, it sounds like, I don't care what it sounds like to you.
Yeah.
What does it say? It does not say the second coming. And it says, till they see the kingdom of God. But that's what Christ's rejecters want to hear. So the question is why? To dismiss Judgment Day and continue in their sin.
Yep.
Men like Eric Hovind, I just watched this week. Ray Comfort, I watched a couple weeks ago. Trying to think of some of the others. I've seen them go and on camera interview these guys. Some of them are the most well-known atheists on YouTube and places like that. And they ask them, if I could prove to you, I'm not saying I have, but I'm just asking, if I could prove to you that Jesus did die on a cross, did go into a tomb, and after 3 days did rise from the dead, if I could prove that to you beyond a shadow of a doubt, would you worship him? And to a person, they refused to say they would. And most of them just said no. Even if you could prove it to me, I wouldn't worship. Why is that? Because that's the issue is, it's not about knowing whether or not Jesus really died, was buried, and rose again, because every one of these men are going to stand before God at a judgment seat if they don't repent and believe in this life, and they're going to admit they knew it. It's going to happen.
Right.
And that's not my opinion. It's exactly what Jesus said. Look over in your Bible to John chapter 3.
Amen.
It's been a few weeks since we looked in John 3 on our, I believe, in our Luke studies. But in John 3, after saying verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, what do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
You're already on your way to hell. You're condemned already. But if you believe on him, you are not condemned. Because, why is the person condemned? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, verse 19, he explains. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Well, because of the intellectual obstacles. Because there was just too much evidence that spoke against the Word of God, the Bible being the Word of God. And all that's baloney, to use a Greek word. Jesus says right there, five words, because their deeds were evil. I'll tell you straight up, the last 3 months before I got saved and became a Christian was the fact that I just didn't know that I wanted to give it up. I didn't want to give up my lust. Didn't want to give up being able to live without worrying about God's word. And, you know, I just wanted to keep on doing what I was doing. Because like we said in Sunday school, anybody says sin isn't fun is a liar. That's the problem with it. It can be fun for a while. Sin is pleasure for a season, as Doug said, but in the end, it's destruction.
Amen.
And it'll destroy you and those around you, but also it'll take you straight to hell. And Jesus says that's why. Light comes into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The words of Jesus Christ, that settles it. Amen?
Amen.
And what does Jesus say in Luke 9:27? Back to the text. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. I want to say one more thing about that too. You talk to atheists, and this is something that Eric Hovind brought out in his discussion. But you can look at atheists and say, you don't believe there is anything absolute. They don't believe in absolute truth. Everything's relative. So that means you could be wrong. And a lot of them say, no, I believe I'm right. You just said there's no such thing as absolute truth. That means that there's a possibility you're wrong.
Yeah.
But then they won't admit it. And the fact is, if there's no absolute truth, you can't even say there's no absolute truth and be absolutely correct. Because there's a possibility you're wrong.
Yes.
That's where the atheist argument leads you to insanity, idiocy. And that's why, and because you're talking to somebody who's pretending to give a legitimate argument, but then they'll sit and deny what they believe right there in front of you. And so getting back to the text, we see what is meant is explained in the next 10 verses. So you don't have to wonder what Jesus was talking about. It's explained right in the text. He said that there are some which standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass. So go to verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. So there was 8 days, and things happened during those 8 days. But Luke's taking us right to the event that explains what he just said in verse 27. That's why we're not told about those 8 days. Luke's going right to the event that explains what Jesus is talking about. Notice he didn't say they'd all see the kingdom of God before they died. But he said there are some standing here. Well, who's he talking about? Verse 28, Peter, James, and John. Those are the some who are going to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Why did he do that? Why did he pick three? Because that's, by law, that establishes a fact. That establishes the case. When Luke says this happened, he's got three eyewitnesses. When Luke wrote Luke, they were still alive. Anybody could go up to Peter, James, and John and ask them if this happened.
Yep.
That's why he picked three. Deuteronomy 19:15, and at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. At the minimum two, three's better.
Amen.
And that's why he's picked these three to witness the kingdom of God. Look at verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. What's happening? He is now putting on his glory. The glory that Jesus will have for eternity. That's why when someone says they have a vision of Jesus and he looks like Kenny Loggins or Eddie Rabbit, you know that they are making it up. Jesus don't look like that anymore. He's in his glory now. And at this point in Luke 9:29, he puts that glory on momentarily or temporarily. And we'll see in a minute that he puts it on permanently after his ascension. So here we refer to this as being transfigured. That's why they call this the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is being transfigured into his glory and displaying the glory of his kingdom. And verse 27 is here being fulfilled. Let's see what Jesus looks like in his glory. And this is what, there might be somebody hear this and then say they have a vision and they'll say they saw Jesus and he looked like this. Fine, but it's just amazing. I think a lot of people make this stuff up. We were talking about Kenneth Copeland in Sunday school a little bit and Kenneth Hagin and some of these guys, and they claim that Jesus shows up and talks to them. And Kenneth Hagin one time was talking about how Jesus showed up. I looked up and he's at the foot of my bed. And I started talking to him. And I said, if I would, if you would just do this. And Jesus said to me, well, if you believed, then I would do it. And Kenneth Hagin said, if you just believed, Kenneth, I could do it. And Kenneth said, you mean if I believed you would do it? And Jesus said to me, no, if you believed I could do it, because if you don't believe, I can't. In other words, God's up there waiting for us to believe in something or he can't do it.
Wrong.
That is wrong, because I'm going to tell you, a lot of the answered prayers in my life, I didn't pray with faith.
That's right.
I prayed with obedience. I prayed because I'm supposed to pray, but I didn't expect it. I didn't have faith. You know, that this was going to happen, all that. And here it is.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And, of course, the Bible goes on to teach all that. But One thing they all have in common when they're telling, we know it's false because it doesn't match the Word of God, but also the Jesus they're talking to doesn't look like this.
Yeah.
Look at verse 13. It says, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now read 14 through 16 with me, and this is the description of Jesus now. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And then what, how does he respond? Does he just talk to him like he's a farmer down the road? Well, howdy, Jesus, how you doing? You know, says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead.
Yeah, amen.
If Jesus were ever to show up in front of you or me, we're not just going to hang out with him and say, well, that's, oh, you're kind of bright, Jesus. I didn't expect you to be that bright, you know. No, you're going to fall as dead because he's in his glory. And that's what's happening in our text. In Luke 9, 29, his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. Then verse 30 says, and behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, which is the Greek transliteration of Elijah. And Moses and Elijah are standing there with him, and they also are in their glory. So what are Peter, James, and John seeing? They are seeing the kingdom of God right there before their eyes being displayed. Jesus in his glory. Moses and Elijah in their glory. They are seeing, of course, they didn't see the whole thing because that's impossible. But the glory of the kingdom of God is being displayed right there in front of their faces. And one of the things I think that causes people to kind of dismiss this when they read it, or they just don't pay attention, they don't understand what this is, what is happening here, folks. If I were to suddenly appear here in front of you this morning in a glorified state, it would flip you out. You would never forget it. And then there's, are you kidding me? Moses is standing next to me on one side, and the other side is Elijah. You've never seen them before, and yet you would know that they are Moses and Elijah. That's one of the things when you see in the kingdom of God, you're not going to have to be introduced. I had to go back and ask Emily's first name again. When we get in heaven, I'll never have to do that again.
That'll be nice.
And then Emily's going to know people in heaven I don't even know, and yet I'm going to know them. Do you understand that? In the kingdom, it's all going to be different. And you're going to recognize the saints as who they are. And they recognize Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus. And verse 31... Oh, first of all, before we move on, there's a reason why it's Moses and Elijah. He just didn't willy-nilly decide. It's not up in heaven and saying, oh, let's see, Moses, who's that next year? Elijah, come on, you guys come with me. That's not how it happened. There's a reason why Moses and Elijah came to this mount to appear with the transfigured, glorified Christ. Because Moses came representing the law, and Elijah came representing the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That's why.
Amen.
We'll see this in verse later on in Luke 24. Jesus is talking in verse 44. He says that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And what's interesting is he didn't bring King David with him.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
It's interesting. But I believe the reason why is because Jesus represents the lineage of David.
Yeah. Amen.
And so the Psalms are represented by Christ, him being in the lineage of David. And when Jesus rules as King of Kings, he's going to rule over King David in Israel. King David will be King of Israel. Jesus will be King of all kings, including Israel. You see that?
Amen.
It's all in Ezekiel. Of course, we'll read that at some point down the road. So then in verse 31, it describes this and says, who appeared in glory? Moses and Elias. Now, a lot of people, they see here something about appearing in glory. They think about heaven. No, they're on earth appearing in glory. See that? What's that mean? That means they're in their glorified state. They are the kingdom of God physically, visibly on earth. Now, you and I will not experience the kingdom of God physically and visibly until after the rapture. But we are in the kingdom of God. But we're not, we are in the kingdom of God in a legal sense. In our standing, we are in the kingdom of God. So you're an American citizen, a citizen there. But you're there as an American citizen. Well, that's really how we are. We're American citizens in a legal sense here, but we are actually citizens of the kingdom now.
Amen. That's right.
And we're visiting here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Yeah, Jack?
When Matthew refers to the kingdom of heaven, is he talking about the same thing that we were just talking about?
Well, the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are separate things, but they're both together on earth when Jesus reigns. And so we have a study on that. We did that a long time ago. We may do that again here soon. But there are differences between the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
But they will both be here in the kingdom millennial age. Yes, good question. So they too, Moses and Elijah, were glorified. And this blew me away. I don't know how many times I'd read this. And it says, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And I just had been so blown away by all the other stuff that I didn't really ponder and meditate on the fact, here's Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and what are they talking about? The cross.
Uh-huh. Amen.
They're talking about what's about to happen. The purpose of Christ coming was, first of all, to seek and to save that which was lost, including the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Having been rejected by them, heading for the cross to be crucified by them. And it says they talked. There talked with him, two men. And it says they spake of his decease. I cannot even imagine what that conversation was like. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, talking about Jesus going to the cross. Look over at Luke 24.
Martha's having trouble with the sound.
Just had an issue a moment ago.
Okay.
Maybe give it a minute.
Luke 24:44. And I just read verse 44. I'll read it again as you turn there. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now read verse 45 with me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what happens after he's resurrected. He is going to sit down and teach them. He's going to teach them and he's going to show them how that he fulfilled all those messianic prophecies found in the law and the prophets. And of course, again, that's why Moses and Elijah are there with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now read verses 47, 48 with me. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Throw this in free of charge. The hyper-dispensationalists deny preaching repentance and all that. Jesus rebukes and refutes them right there. He said that the preaching of repentance and remission of sins was to be preached in His name among all nations. That wasn't just in His lifetime. That was the apostolic mission that is the very beginning of this dispensation and is being carried on even to this day.
Amen.
And ye are witnesses of these things, He says. And there were three witnesses, Peter, James, and John, in addition to the two heavenly witnesses of Elijah and Moses. And I'll say this too, it makes me think that there are going to be discussions in heaven. And maybe it'll be at the great white throne, where God's going to call on witnesses.
Yeah.
What happens at a judgment seat? Well, we have advocates called attorneys. Defense and prosecution. If you want to win your case, make sure that you have Jesus Christ on retainer.
Amen.
And if not, you're going to lose.
That's
right. So back to the text there in Luke 9:32. We read it says, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Now, I just want to say, I'm not going to pick on Peter like a lot of preachers do here. And one reason is, if you look at that, you ever in a deep, heavy sleep and then you wake up and say something stupid?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite little cartoons we'd watch with the kids, and one of the, I think it's Pluto, and he's asleep and they wake him up and he looks around and says, how many cups of sugar does it take to get to the moon? And I won't repeat, not that it's anything bad, but I can't remember exactly. But, you know, Jenny said some pretty funny things like that. And I'm sure I have, too. My brother was hilarious. And Mom will tell him I'm talking about him when she talks to him. But I used to wake Wade up on purpose just to see what he's going to say. I mean, he would just start, sometimes just mumble-jumble. The other times he'd say, I don't want to eat the last part of the cereal. He'd be complaining that I ate the last part of the cereal in his sleep. And I don't know if he ever did that stuff to me. I was older, so I got by with that stuff. But it says, and when they were awake, out of this heavy sleep, they saw His glory. And the two men, and it says they recognized him, Moses and Elijah. So the sleeping apostles, some of you sound like you're needing to wake up over there. The sleeping apostles woke up to this. Now, Peter now demonstrates that some events call for silence. It's a very important lesson in life. You don't always have to run your mouth.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Help
us.
Yes, me.
But you ever been in those situations and someone says something, you're like, just drop it, you know. Sadly, funerals are really bad about that. People don't know what to say. So they're like, God needed, you know, I'm not making this up. This fellow was played baseball. And he loved baseball. So when he died, later on, a few years later, I was at the funeral. And somebody, I'm not going to try to say even who, but they come up to the family and said, God evidently needed a center fielder in heaven.
A what?
Oh, a center fielder.
A center fielder. Yeah. You know, that's stupid.
Uh-huh.
And that is not in any way comforting to anybody who's in their right mind.
Right.
And God doesn't kill people to fill out the roster of His heavenly baseball team.
That's right.
I mean, just think about how dumb some of this stuff people say. He must have needed another angel. No.
No, he didn't.
He did. You don't become an angel when you go to heaven. And that's not how God fills the angelic roster either. Right. Oh, we're down three. Okay, well, there's three in the car here. Let's move. Okay, we got our three angels. I mean, think how dumb this stuff is, people say.
Yeah.
Sometimes all you need to do is look at a person and say, you know, we love you and we're praying for you.
Amen.
Don't try to be profound. Really, that's as profound as you ought to be. That's a wonderful thing to tell somebody. You love them and you'll be praying for them. And if you want to add on anything I can do, if there's anything I can do, I'm here for you. And mean it.
Yes, good.
Don't just say it. Pray for them. Be there for them. Anyway, Peter, he's in one of those moments. And it says in verses 33 and 34, it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here.
And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake. In other words, God just ignores him. Peter's out there flapping his jaws, and God just acts like he didn't even say it. He just ignores him, and then he speaks. Look at verse 34. While he thus spake, Peter's still talking, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Oh, boy, this is all brand new. And they're seeing the glory of the kingdom of God. It would freak us out, too. Don't get down on these guys because they're responding the way you and I would. And with an audible voice, the Father speaks in verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Don't listen to Peter. But you know, the bigger message was Moses and Elijah had their purpose, but Jesus' word fulfills and trumps it all. In other words, another thing the skeptics like to do is go back and say, well, the Bible says eating shrimp's an abomination, just like homosexuality. So they're like the same. That's what they do. Well, there's a problem with your ignorance there, is that this was a covenant with Israel, and they were told not to eat shrimp and shellfish, basically, and pigs. There were certain things, and which I'd made a terrible Jew because I love bacon. We all know that. But we're not Israel. We're not under Mosaic law. Jesus has fulfilled the law. Now we're under his rule and his word. And so basically it comes down to what you see in the Old Testament is to be explained in the New Testament. The dietary laws served a purpose in the Old Testament. It's clear. It tells you in the book of Acts, those dietary laws no longer apply. But in the same sentence that they say it's okay to eat meat, just don't drink blood. But they also say fornication is still out in Acts. So that means homosexuality is out, because all forms of homosexuality is sex outside of marriage and fornication. Then you come to Romans 1, in case you're still a little cloudy on the issue. Go from Romans 1, 16 to 32, and it explains that God still says it's an abomination, and he'll hand you over to a reprobate mind if you continue to persist in that sin. At no point does the New Testament say, and by the way, you still can't eat shrimp. Then in there. And that's what happens. The Bible says these things are spiritually discerned. So when an unbeliever reads the Bible and they reject the gospel, they're in danger of really causing themselves more trouble because they get all this messed up, because these things, according to the Bible, are spiritually discerned. So you go to the law, you're going to get all tripped up. Ken Ham down there building an ark in order to teach, that's fine. But I always ask these guys who want to try to stick us with the Old Testament revelation, you know, why aren't you offering animal sacrifice and slitting the throats of lambs on every Saturday? And, you know, why don't you fly to Jerusalem and go up to that Temple Mount and try that one time? You know what I mean? That'd be quite a mess. The Muslims would slit your throat because they're in control of the area. But if we were still under the Mosaic law, not only should you not eat shrimp, you should be slicing throats of animals. While you're at it, why don't you build an ark? That's back there too. Well, there are two persons. There came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son." So there's the Son, and there's the voice speaking to the Son. That's two persons. Co-eternal. Co-existent. Not one different from the other as far as their substance, their nature. They are two persons, and they are not the same. I say it because there's more and more Bible novices in pulpits teaching people not to believe in the Trinity and to claim that Jesus is the Father. And they turn Jesus into a ventriloquist.
He's standing here at the Transfiguration Mountain. He's throwing his voice up into the sky. This is my beloved son. Please hear him. He'd have to be a much better ventriloquist than I am. But you ever seen some of those guys? I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
But that's not what's happening here. Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not Jesus. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. He doesn't say we're the same. In a spiritual sense, Jenny and I, a married couple, we are one flesh. And yet there are two fleshly bodies and we're not, you know, actually melding together in some weird twisted thing. And with God and Jesus, they are one. They're not the same. And that's where the Trinity comes into all this. So those who teach that Jesus is the Father completely misrepresent Scripture as an absurdity. But we'll move on now to verse 36. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. In other words, Moses and Elijah returned to heaven. We will see them again in Scripture in Revelation 11. As the two witnesses, again, representing the law and the prophets during Daniel's 70th week. And we studied all that in our verse-by-verse study of Revelation. So verse 36 ends by saying, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. In other words, the purpose here was served. They needed two or three witnesses. God doesn't violate his own word. And he says there should be two or three witnesses. He did that. He said that some of you here will not die before you see the kingdom of God. He's done that here. And so the purpose is served. Now later, when do they talk about this? After the resurrection and in the gospel accounts. That's when it comes up again. And that's our theme in all of our music has been the glory of God. Because that's what this whole transfiguration thing is about. The glory of Jesus Christ, a little taste of it. On earth, the law and the prophets, the representatives of the law and the prophets, talking with Jesus about his decease, talking to Jesus about his going to the cross. Everyone in this room has the opportunity. Looks like all of you are still alive. Some of you are yawning like you're about to die. But not just you, two or three of you. Boom. Need to put the coffee pot up here, evidently. But you can see Jesus in his kingdom, just like Peter, James, and John, only eternally be a part of his kingdom, but you must be born again.
Amen. Right.
Jesus again said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's amazing to know that the majority of churches in our area, week after week, and they do not preach, you must be born again. You go, and I say, well, those Catholics. Well, that's true. The Catholic Church preaches a false gospel and doesn't preach you must be born again. And if you're Catholic and you go up and tell the priest that you've been born again, you're going to be in some hot water unless you go ahead and submit to the church teaching that you're really only saved if you do this, do that, do this, all the sacraments, and then die in good graces with the church and burn in purgatory forever. But that isn't the only church. You go to a lot of the other churches around here. They do not preach you must be born again. It doesn't matter what those churches preach.
Amen.
Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't know your heart. Only you do. Those online, we have people watching that we've never even heard from. And every once in a while, we'll hear from them. But we know there's others out there we haven't heard from. And if you're not going to church because you don't have a Bible-believing church within your area, or you're shut in, or all these COVID lockdowns, whatever it is, the important thing is that you know you are born again. And the Bible makes it very simple that you repent toward God, dropping everything. Your religion, your opinions, your sin, who you are, what you are, and you turn empty-handed to God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believing how that Christ died for our sins. It's His works that save us, not our own. That He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to sin. At that moment, you are now born again.
Amen.
We're not going to see, you know, your hair's not going to turn white, you know, and you're not going to glow. Although there is a sort of glow about people, their countenance changes. Most everybody I've known has been born again. But you're going to receive eternal life. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit who comes to reside in you. You'll know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
You are sealed unto the day of redemption. You're a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, having been born again. If that's true of you, you will see the kingdom of God. If not, you won't. And there is a place we call hell, a place of burning. You have to choose to go there. But like we said this morning, what do you do to go to hell? You don't have to do anything to go to hell. You're already going there.
Yep.
Without Christ. That's it. And that's why we're going to sing, "To God be the glory." It's His works, His Son, His salvation.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's get the prayer request in online at bbfohio@protonmail.com. And if you're here and alive in the flesh, bring them up.
All right.
Janie's collecting them, so you can give them to her if you got one.
To those not present, to you here, there, or in the air.